Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, decoding messages from the grave. A haunted mine where the spirits of more than 100 who died in it come back to give messages to the living. A young woman is stabbed to death in 1969, and in 2016 her identity is finally revealed after an investigation brought on by visions delivered to a man who could possibly be considered a suspect. These are just some of the true ghost stories we discuss today with Tony Filosi and Darla Jackson on The Grave Talks.
Well, in the early 1970s, there was an outbreak of UFO sightings, especially down south. I lived down south at the time, and I found myself very, very interested in anything UFO or ghost related. I also was really interested in mythology, history. One of the first books I got as a child was Eric von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods. And that kind of got me on the path. And then later on in life, I had some experiences I couldn't explain. So that really piqued my interest, and I've kind of been hooked ever since.
What were some of those initial experiences for you, Tony? I want to hear that, and then I'm going to ask the same question to Darla.
Well, the first experience that I had was there was this sword that some folks had found in Ohio, and it was allegedly had some sort of activity attached to it. And being I was probably 19, 20, and they were good friends of ours. I said, hey, can I check the sword out? And it was allegedly an old Roman sword, but they could have got it at the bazaar. I don't know, but the story was cool. Mm-hmm. But I brought it home, and I had it in my room. And maybe a week or so later, I woke up with a white mist over top of me. And, you know, I woke up out of a dead sleep, and I was frozen just for a second, you know, trying to figure out what this was. Yeah. So it startled me, you know, scared me. And I kicked up, and whenever I kicked through the mist, it was cold, very cold. And then just as quickly as it had came, it dissipated. So that was the first thing that I physically had seen that was unexplainable. And that, you know, that got me digging even deeper into the paranormal.
What is going through your mind as you're seeing this mist and maybe trying to connect some dots? Obviously you're startled, you know, you feel the chills of the air, but mm-hmm. What is right there in your mind? How are you processing this? What's going through your mind at that moment?
What is this?
Yeah.
What is this? Why is it here?
And what are you connecting to when you're saying, what is this? What's the answer that your mind is giving you at that moment?
At that point, it was just unexplainable. The house had allegedly had some activity. And I did hear some activity, you know, like footsteps and things like that. And I was living with my father at the time. And the house, I don't think they're, you know, they didn't relate any deaths or anything in the homes. It could have been attached to the land. But we would leave, and the drawers in the kitchen would all be pulled out when you would come back. So I thought, you know, and as I'm laying there looking at this mist, I'm going, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, I'm your mind's going 1,000 miles a minute. You're trying to make sense out of this. Your logical mind is saying this can't be happening. Mm-hmm. And then, but you're seeing this thing, you know, this entity or this shape, and it's there.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to make of it.
Very interesting kind of origin story, and I'm sure we can kind of jump into this a little bit more. But Darla, I want to go over to you and hear your story. Where did it begin for you? What's your earliest memory of finding interest or rediscovering a passion in the world of paranormal, supernatural, ghosts, and such?
Well, I was partially raised by grandparents who were what I consider older grandparents. They were from a different era, a different time. And I can remember just absolutely loving hearing their stories, and they had just the best stories. So I think I got interested in the stories at maybe 5 years old. But all I wanted to listen to was the scary ones. If my grandfather started telling me a funny one, I'd say, no. I want a scary one. I love to be scared. But I really had never had any experiences. I always thought that ghost stories happened to other people. Then at about age 13, I was with my grandparents. I stayed with them by choice almost all the time, especially in the summer. And I had an experience where basically in the middle of the night, the silence of rural Appalachia, where I'm from, just exploded with the sound of chanting and drums. Literally scared me to death, scared my grandmother to death. My grandfather ran outside with a pistol. He was a pretty rough fella. He was tough. He was in World War II and had been, you know, just into all that kind of stuff. And so he ran out with a pistol.
Sure.
And we listened to this for, I guess, 5 minutes. And we never figured out where it was from or anything about it. I called neighbors the next day. They never heard anything. So, and I asked my grandmother the next morning, I called her Susie. I said, Susie, what was that? What do you think that was? And she says, well, you know, I just think it was people having church. I'm like, okay. All righty then. And that was, I guess, the first introduction to the fact that the paranormal might not be something that happens to other people. It might happen to me too.
Sure.
So I guess that was the big defining moment where I at least entertained the fact that paranormal stuff does happen, and it happens to maybe everyone.
Sure. Can you tell us, when you look back on those experiences, and even before you had the experience at 13 with all of the drums and the noise and the music outside, what was one of the scary stories, you know, briefly that your grandfather told you that really kind of piqued your interest? When you look back on those moments and you remember hearing him tell the stories to you, what's the one that really stands out that was like, that was spooky? That really kind of, that drove me down that road even further too, beyond just having the experience of your own.
Well, actually, the story that really, I guess, started it all was my grandmother's story. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was an amazing storyteller. He was larger than life and was just incredible. My grandmother was very soft-spoken. She spoke rarely, but when she spoke, everything she spoke was the truth. And she never told ghost stories or anything, but she had a story that actually occurred in the same location where my first experience happened. But she and my grandfather I'm thinking it was probably the 30s, late 30s, early 40s, they had basically a shack near the same place where their house that I knew was built. And they didn't have, they had dirt floors, and they had blankets for doors and windows during the summer. Mm-hmm. And this is very rural Appalachia.
Sure.
And they didn't have running water. And my grandfather ran a log yard. And so my grandmother would cook for all of my grandfather's workers. And then she would have to take the dishes to the creek and wash dishes. She would get a wash tub and wash dishes outside. And she said that most every night she could hear a group of people coming from afar. They would pass right by her. She could hear what they were talking about. She could hear different voices, male, female, children. And she said they would walk right by her, and then they would go out of sight, and she never saw anyone. She said, and I asked her again, I said, "Susie, who do you think it was?" And she said, I just think it was people coming back and forth from church. Like, okay, invisible people. It was always church.
Everybody's doing church.
That was always her excuse. Everybody's doing church. And so, but one, she said one night, a ball of fire popped up out of the ground, ran all over the yard, back and forth, made patterns, swirled, ran everywhere, came right up to her, to her feet, and went right back down in the ground again. And just knowing that my grandmother always told the truth, wasn't a good storyteller, didn't want to tell stories. I had to, you know, pull them out of her. But just knowing that those things happened to her, I think that really started, that's kind of what sparked the interest and made me absolutely love being afraid, love hearing ghost stories, and couldn't get enough of them.
Do you think your grandmother was more sensitive to the paranormal than the average or empathic with abilities?
I think so. There is a long line of that in her family. I don't think she would ever admit to it, mm-hmm. but she definitely had it. She was very mixed racially. She was Melungeon, which means it's a tri-racial mixture of Native American, Black, and White, mm-hmm. and a little bit of Portuguese, a little bit of Middle Eastern. And she came from a tradition of healers and people who seemed to be intuitive. She was a little afraid of it, but despite that, I think she had it.
Yeah. When you look back on those stories and you look back to your experience on that same plot of land, all these years later, do you have any idea to the history of the land or anything of that nature? Because I mean, it all sounds very much like it has something to do with the geographic area in which these things happened, whether it be something residual or something conscious still kind of going over the land. Retrospectively, what's your opinion on what you think may have been going on in that area?
Well, my grandparents and my aunts and everyone in my family planted a garden. And in the spring, when it got burned off and plowed, and then in the fall when it got harvested, my activity, my favorite activity as a child, was to go through there and pick up arrowheads, Indian artifacts, relics. I still have them to this day. I would just pluck all of these things out of the ground. I know for a fact that there was a Native American village where that was, because I found too many artifacts. Mm-hmm. It had to have been. I think it might have something to do with that. It was also in an area called Straight Creek. And actually, my grandmother washed dishes from the water of Straight Creek. It was right there by the water. It would have been the perfect place for villages, probably for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. And just recently, a neighbor of mine from long, long ago, right there, right behind us, but on the other side of Straight Creek, She had no idea I'd heard these experiences or had them myself or anything. And she said that my great-great aunt, Aunt Cynthia Cooper, used to talk about the invisible children that used to go down to the creek and play, and that she'd hear those children playing all the time. So other people actually heard that too.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.